This ESPN Radio Daily Podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. To get a free quote on car insurance, call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visit Progressive.com. You could save hundreds. Now that's Progressive. This is the ESPN Radio Daily Podcast.
Drew Brees, who comes off a huge Sunday, joining us in the herd on ESPN Radio. And Drew, we always talk about basketball players getting into a groove. Sunday, it looked like, do you ever feel like every pass you throw is going to be completed?
Yeah, I definitely feel like every game, you prepare yourself so much throughout the week and you just visualize the situation so many times over and over again that by the time the game comes around, that's supposed to be the fun part. That's where you're not thinking anymore, you're just reacting. And so, I feel like, in a lot of cases, I get to the game and I just feel like, hey, I'm going to put the ball in a position where my guy's going to be able to catch it every time and, throw it away from the defender. And, you just kind of get that, kind of visualize that in your head. And so, yeah, I mean, I feel that way a lot.
Drew, it's interesting. Tom Brady last night, not the most athletic Patriot, but amazing in the two-minute drill. Phillip Rivers, amazing with the two-minute drill. You look around the NFL now. We all fall in love with a big, strong arm. It seems to be more than ever, it seems to me, the league is comprised, and the haves and the have-nots are separated by quarterbacks who are good, late game, late half, two-minute drills.
No, I mean, you're absolutely right, because majority of NFL games come down to the last 2 minutes of the game. It's just one play here, one play there that are going to determine the outcome, and a lot of times it comes down to that two-minute drill, as you saw last night with both games. So, it's definitely very much a mental game, especially for the quarterback position. Sure, there's some physical tools you need to have, but it's not necessarily about, the big strong arm or, great quickness or speed or what have you. It's just your ability to, deliver the ball accurately in critical situations and put points on the board to help your team win.
How often, how much of your practice time on a regular week with the Saints is spent on two-minute offense, late-game offense?
I mean, we talk about it a lot. We have the drill at least one time throughout the week, sometimes twice, two or three times, where, you're at least simulating the situation and talking about it. And because that in every game, whether it's before the end of the half, and you just have the opportunity to go down and get some points before half, or at the end of the game when you're going down and trying to win a game, it's going to come up more times than not, at least once or twice in a game during the season.
Yeah. Well, it was interesting last night watching Tom Brady operate. Despite his numbers, which were remarkable, I was listening to the announcers, and the sense was, early he didn't quite have the confidence. Yeah, I don't know. When you watched Brady last night, did it look like the same old Tom?
Yeah, it did to me. Because honestly, I saw a little bit of the beginning of the game, and then I just saw the last, 5 minutes of the game. So I think that's the Tom Brady that we all know. The guy who, when it's crunch time and he needs to make a play, he's going to make it. And those last two drives where they went down and got two touchdowns, he's 12 of 14, extremely efficient. Throwing the ball where only his guys can catch it and the other guys can't, and just making the plays when he needed to and winning the game.
Drew Brees joining us. What's really remarkable, Drew, about your career is that in most instances when a team has a great quarterback and then they go with a young guy and a really good guy like Drew Brees leaves, there's a drop-off. But in both the Saints and the Chargers case, you were there and you were great. You go to New Orleans and have been record-setting, and yet Phillip Rivers has been better than most people thought. It was sort of a win-win situation. Your career has flourished. Phillip's career has flourished. I wonder if you guys ever, do you talk much? Do you ever talk about that?
I think it's definitely worked out for both of us. I'm where I belong, and so is he. And, I definitely wouldn't trade it for the world. I have a chance to talk to Phillip every now and then in the off season, that kind of thing, and I definitely wish him the best. I feel like he's a great competitor and a very good player. And, just everything works out, for a reason.
It's interesting, Drew, because you're a very smart guy. You're a very accurate passer. you really ended up getting a coach, Sean Payton, who may have been the perfect coach for you. He's one of the smartest guys in the league. In a strange way, you kind of upgraded. I mean, the Chargers were great, but Payton isn't he perfect for you?
No, he's perfect for me. You know, and here's the thing. I've had a lot of great coaches throughout my career that have really helped mold me as a person and a player. None more so than Sean Payton. And so I definitely feel like, you know, being here with him in this offense and with his coaching ability and everything, it's a perfect fit for me. And obviously I feel like more so than that, he's created such a great attitude and a culture, you know, around our facility and amongst our team. He's brought in the right guys, character type guys, leadership type guys, and guys that know what it takes to win and compete. And so I'm happy to be here. I feel like we're going to make a run at it and, just excited for the rest of the season.
Drew Brees, 3-time Pro Bowler. Thanks, Drew.
I really appreciate it.
By the way, look it up online. Financial football. Drew Brees been doing it for 5 years with Visa, teaching kids financial responsibility through football. Look it up. Financial football with Drew Brees.
Mike and Mike in the Morning on ESPN Radio with Merrill Hodge. I'm Eric Casilius, and we welcome in via the Subway Fresh Take Hotline Super Bowl MVP quarterback of the Giants, Eli Manning. Eli, welcome in.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Eli, I know we're going to get to your wide receivers, your offensive line, you personally in a second, but I would love to get your view of your defensive line. How good and how athletic are the guys that you do not have to play against, but I'm sure you practice against at times. When you look at OCU Manura, who is back, Justin Tuck, I watch those guys. I think they may be the most athletic group in all of football, but I would love to get your feeling on just how good they are and what kind of problems they pose to opposing offenses.
Yeah, I mean, when we, during training camp, going against those guys every day, I got to believe it makes us better as an offense, especially our offensive line, going against those guys, you know, not only in pass protection but in the run game, just because, you know, they are so explosive and athletic, and they're all different. OC's got the speed coming up the field. Tuck is a guy who you can move anywhere. He can play D-tackle. He can play defensive end. He's got speed and power. The additions of Chris Canty and Rocky and Matthias, all those guys, you know, they have great confidence and they love getting to the quarterback, but they also, you know they got to play the run and do everything. So I got to believe, you know, they cause problems during training camp and sometimes you get frustrated. But, you know, I think it definitely makes our offensive line better because, you know, you're going against guys who bring it every day. And so I think in the long run, it's a good thing to have those guys on our side.
Well, in week two, you're going to see a team that's pretty similar. They can rush the passer as well, and that's the Dallas Cowboys. You're going to go down there, open up the stadium on Sunday night. Every team has their little nuances and their little differences. You know, you think Washington, you think Philadelphia, you get Dallas twice a year. If I say Dallas, what comes to mind that's special about the Cowboys?
Well, I think they just, they're so well-rounded. And I'm saying, you know, defensively, they can cause a lot of problems. They got the 3-4, they got Ware at the end and Spencer. And so they got, you know, guys who can get to the quarterback. They're very sound and their defenses are, they're going to bring different, you know, blitzes and looks. But then, you know, their offensive attack is so explosive also. You know, when we think going into the game, not only do we have to score a lot of points, but we got to have long drives, keep the ball out of their offensive, their offensive hands. And so it's a, it's always a great, challenge, every year, especially going into Dallas, got the new stadium this year, but, we got to play, you know, perfect football. We got to protect the ball. And when we get opportunities to score, we got to get touchdowns because we know we got to put some points on the board.
Yeah, Eli, you know, I know you played Dallas this coming week, but you just finished with Washington. You'll see him again. They get Albert Haynesworth in there. And now, he wasn't as disruptive as I've seen him be in the past. What would you guys, and that probably speaks really to your offensive line, I understand that, but what would you guys' mindset early in the game so that he didn't become so disruptive for you guys?
Well, we were to, move the tight end some, see if that shifted up their defense line, try to, get them moving around. Again, same thing. We wanted to have some long drives, and I think that really helped us. The first half, we kept their offense off the field for most of the time. We had two, 10-play drives in a row, trying to, have a fast pace, get them moving. We're gonna run, we're gonna play action, show some different looks. And I think that, try to just keep them on the field as long as possible. He missed a lot of training camp, so we're hoping that maybe he wasn't quite in game shape. Try to use that to our advantage. But he is a special force. He's just a big, powerful man. It showed up on a couple third and shorts that we needed to convert, and we couldn't just because he's a big beast there in the middle, and we just couldn't get those third and shorts running the ball. But you definitely have to be aware of what he is, of where he is. But we had to run our normal offense. We were gonna kind of go in with the same approach that we do a lot of times when we play Washington, and see if we could conduct our offense just as smoothly.
Super Bowl 42 champion and MVP Eli Manning joining us via the Subway Fresh Take Hotline here at Mike and Mike in the Morning on ESPN Radio. And Eli, I know that you're also involved in the community, and you're doing something now helping with technology and kids. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I'm with talking about Samsung's Four Seasons of Hope and their program where they give away $1 million in technology products and grants to the most deserving schools and students in America. And if you want a chance to bring some of these important technology tools to your local K-12 classrooms, any student, teacher, parent can submit a 100-word essay at www.fourseasonsofhope.com/education from now through November 1st, and bring some of these great technology tools to your school.
One more, Eli, on the way out the door. Merrill and I are both fantasy guys. I know you're going to tell me because I know you're a smart guy. Everybody's good. But I need to know, who's the number one wide receiver target for the Giants?
We don't have one. I'm telling
Stop
you.
Stop it! Come on, give me a name!
Eli, just tell him it depends on what the defense is doing.
It's not the first time I've been asked this. My buddies are all in fantasy. They're all
right.
Asking me. Yeah, I got to draft a receiver.
Can a brother get a Steve Smith or a Dominic Hickson? Something.
They all contributed. Steve had 6 catches. Hickson had some catches. Obviously, Manningham got the touchdown. Nick's is getting catches. So, it's tough to say because we rotate guys in. A lot of times I'm in there. I don't even know who my receivers are. Sometimes Manningham's at X. Sometimes he's at Z. So it just kind of depends on the week, on the coverage. I got great faith in these guys, and something that we had this past week we hadn't had in a while is this run after the catch. These guys can get the ball, make some guys miss, and make some plays on their own. I'm excited about that.
Fine. Your brother would tell me.
Most quarterbacks would tell you that. That's the truth. He's really speaking the truth. He's like, go out, hey, listen, I'm going to throw it to you this time.
That's right. All right, Eli, thank you very much.
That's what we do on the red team.
I appreciate that, Eli. Thank you very much for joining us. We really appreciate your time, and good luck this Sunday in Dallas.
Good luck, Eli.
Okay, hey,
that's Eli Manning joining us via the Subway Fresh Take Hotline.
It was one of the most wildly entertaining pro or college football games you will ever see this weekend. Michigan at home. And we said it going in, Rich Rodriguez built a power in West Virginia. He's going to eventually do it at Michigan. Maybe this is the springboard into this franchise, this program, really moving forward. And the head coach, Rich Rodriguez, joining us via the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. When you're walking back to the locker room, coach, after that win, did it feel like a moment that you will look back on years from now and say that was the moment that springboards us?
I don't know if I thought that far ahead, but I knew that my wife loves to watch the DVR of the games and watch them back again if we win. And that was my thought going up the tunnel. I said, she'll probably watch this thing 100 times in the next 4 or 5 days. And I think she's at about 80 already.
It's interesting, Coach, because when a game's as wild as that was, and it was just unbelievable television, do you ever as a coach sit there late in the game and think, this is entertaining, or are you just too into the game?
Well, most of the time we're too into the game, but when the fourth quarter got there and it was going back and forth and the crowd was into it and, I'm thinking, boy, this is probably a whole lot of fun for a whole lot of people other than us. it's not much fun for us when you're going back and forth like that, but it was fun to watch our guys compete. That's the neat part about it, being around these student athletes and and to watch them having some fun and competing back and forth on both sides. That's what coaching, that's one of the gifts that you have when you're coaching.
You know, you've taken some heat at Michigan, and recently I came on the air and I said, I really found myself pulling for you because I thought you were a great coach, and because you're kind of a bottom line guy, that will offend some people. Did you feel like before this game a little bit like things were piling up on you?
Well, not really. You know, the fan support has really been great. I mean, everybody wants to win, Colin, I'm not from here, so maybe there was a little bit of adjusting to, but for the most part, you know, the alumni support, the fan support, the former players have been terrific. Everybody just wants to have success, but I felt a tremendous amount of support in our first game, not just for me personally, but our team and our coaching staff. And obviously we got a nice win there. And then I felt it certainly, going into the second game as well. It was nice that our young men rewarded our great fan support by playing hard and making, we didn't play great, but we made enough plays to win it. But I've never worried about the external pressures or anything like that. I think you just got to be yourself and do what you were hired to do and hope it works out.
Tell the story. You recruit a kid all the way out West Coast, Tate Forcier, a little bit under the radar. Terrell Pryor gets all the publicity. You find this kid, I guess, in San Diego. When did you first see tape on him? He was unbelievable for those who didn't watch the game. Where did you first see him? Do you remember the day he committed? Can you tell us the story about it?
Yeah, I can remember watching film. I think it was a normal time, spring before their senior year. We were watching film, and you watch this guy run around and scramble around all over the place. And you thought, geez, this guy looks like he'd be a pretty good fit. And, he and both Denard Robinson, we both loved their high school film. They can run, they can throw, they seem to be in control of the game. And then you wanted to see, well, can we get the chance to see him in person? And sometimes the only way to really evaluate him in person, if you can't get out for spring practice, is to invite him to come to your camps or summer camps. And sometimes quarterbacks are a little hesitant. You go out there and they've got offers. They don't really want to go and show what they can do in person because they're afraid they won't do as well. Well, Tate was just the opposite. He said, okay, what camp, what time you want me to be there? And he got here and he threw for about 2 or 3 hours. It did every throw we could imagine. He said, okay, what else you want me to do? And he just couldn't wait to compete. And I said, this is the type of guy that we want. And Denard was the same way, and all the quarterbacks we're recruiting from here on out will be the same way. Guys that obviously can play in high school, but also cannot wait to come and compete and show you what they can do.
You know, it's interesting. Rich Rodriguez, Michigan football coach, on just a heck of a win this weekend, Forcier said he had 417 text messages after the win and 88 missed calls. I mean, I know it's a huge win, but how do you keep him focused now that he's a rock star on campus?
Well, that's the first thing the last thing I told him when we left the locker room after the game. I said, I'm going to make, and his brother was standing there with him, and I said, I'm going to make sure that hat still fits his head this time a week from now. It's one of those one size fits most or one size fits all. And I said, we're going to make sure it fits. And, his brothers and his dad have to do a good job of keeping him humble as well. And we do. And the way we compete in practice and with our situation with having Denard Robinson here as well, Tate knows he's got to come and compete every day. But I think he will. I think our guys are going to remain hungry as a team, and we've preached that all week.
Well, congratulations on the win, and it's I really do believe this. I said this yesterday. You're the best thing that's happened to the Big Ten in a long time. You're progressive. You evolve. You run an incredibly entertaining offense. You're a blast to watch. And by the way, I want to give you our listeners here, www.coachtocuremd.org. What is that, Coach?
It is. I'm a member of the AFC Board of Trustees, and we got approached a couple years ago about the Coach to Cure MD. It's a great project to help to find a cure eventually for muscular dystrophy, and many families throughout the country have been affected by this. And really, as a Division I or coaches organization, really a whole entire coaches organization, we come up with some projects each and every year to try to support these causes. And this one is one that, and particularly on Saturday, September 26th, if you watch TV, you'll see coaches on the sidelines wearing the bands that have Coach to Cure MD. Coach Trussell from Ohio State and I both did a commercial together. Put the two rivals together, and we did a commercial together to help support the cause. And it's something that is very dear and near to many coaches and their families' hearts.
Hey, Rich, good luck to you and the Wolverines.
Thank you very much. Great talking to you.
All right. Rich Rodriguez. By the way, their schedule sets up nicely. Eastern Michigan, Indiana, it's reasonable to think they can win those games. They're both at home. Well, suddenly Michigan's 4-0 and hosting Michigan State. We overlooked them. You know, they also, by the way, they host Ohio State. I'm telling you, that offense can beat anybody. And, you know, these people banging on Rich Rodriguez, folks, he built West Virginia into a great football program, top 10 in the country, and that state had no players. And his record against the SEC, I think he was like 8-1. So, I mean, if you watch that game in the Big Ten right now, Michigan with their athletes, I mean, remember, he didn't inherit Indiana's roster. He inherited Michigan's roster. They got plenty of NFL guys. They just got to be coached up. But their schedule here, it works out nice. They get Delaware State before Penn State. So that's, you know, their schedule works out really nicely.
The Pope of college football, Beano Cook, as we look back at two big games. One he picked as his pick of the week. We'll find out how it turned out for him. But first, Notre Dame, despite being the better team on the field, falls to Michigan. And Beano, I gotta tell you, I've gotten tons of texts and emails over the last couple of days after the Notre Dame loss, wondering what your reaction's going to be to this game.
Well, I thought Notre Dame would play for the national title. It's still possible, but a lot has to happen. It's unbelievable they lost that game. Once they went ahead, it was unbelievable the way they came back when they're 11 points behind Jimmy Clausen, and then all they had to do was hold them, and they didn't do it. It's it's one of those things. Notre Dame used to win those type of games. They're not winning them any longer. That's the problem.
So do you think now the pressure has been, how much has the pressure been ratcheted up on Charlie Weiss? Because it was in the beginning, you and Lou Holtz, people talking about how, here's Notre Dame, they could win the national title.
No, well, that doesn't mean anything. You know, I mean, what we say, it doesn't. But the pressure is there. The pressure is always there at Notre Dame.
Yeah, but when people talk about it, Beano, that makes it, if nobody said anything, there would be less pressure. But people say things, so there's more pressure.
Well, there's always pressure. I understand the message board is brutal on Notre Dame's game plan or strategy at the end. So they got beat. Michigan came back. It was a great scene. I normally don't make noise at Ann Arbor, but boy, they made noise on Saturday. Just what college football is, a great scene.
Yeah, I don't think that Charlie Weiss has to really defend his play calling at the end. They're upset he threw a couple of passes when they were trying to run the clock out. Well, first of all, they were really close to completing those passes. They've thrown on Michigan all day long.
All they had to do was complete one and they run the clock out.
Yeah, and if Armando Allen was still in the game, but he was out of the game and they gave the ball to his backup on the next play and he got stuffed. So of course Charlie Weiss is going to say, okay, I'm going to win or lose this game with my best playmaker. My best playmaker is Jimmy Clausen. And if they just misfired on a couple of routes, they'd be winning the game.
Yeah, exactly. But that's the difference between winning and losing a game like that, one or two plays.
I think you should call Charlie Weiss. He needs a phone call from you, Beano, to cheer him up a little bit.
No, he. He better win Saturday. That's all I can say.
I mean, if so he suddenly win, he's in a must-win.
Oh, absolutely! If he loses Saturday to Michigan State, you know he might as well get his resume out for a new job.
Well, Michigan State's it turns out to be a bit of a pushover after losing to Central Michigan last week, and that was pretty unexpected as well.
I mean, when that happened, I mean, those things happen. I mean, strange things happen in college football. You watch a pro game. I said this before. Everything's predictable except interceptions and fumbles and kick returns. I mean, look at Oklahoma State. I mean, they're on a high. They lose to Houston and their season, the people I imagine are complaining down there now.
If college football was so predictable, you should have given me USC 18, Ohio State 15. Instead, you picked Ohio State as your pick of the week last week.
Pick, but they covered. They covered. That's
okay.
I'm 2-0. I said I could have done the. Wait a second. I said I could have done the easy way. USC 24, Ohio State 21. Mm-hmm. But I thought Ohio State would win, and again, they had a chance. But USC drove 86 yards, score, the touchdown, and, you know, so they made the plays and Ohio State did not.
All right, well, I'll give you credit for 2-1-0 on that, Bean. I have no problem with
that.
You saying red hot. You know, I'll give you credit on there.
Okay.
He's the Pope of college football, Beano Cook. Beano, as always, my friend, appreciate your time with us, and we'll talk to you later on this week. We'll break down the big games and get your pick of the week, you red-hot 2-0 prognosticator, you.
Okay.
Log on to ESPN.com/podcenter or ESPNradio.com for more great podcasts.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. For more of the best that ESPN Radio has to offer, don't forget to listen online every day to shows like Mike and Mike in the Morning, The Herd, and The Scott Van Pelt Show, all available at ESPNradio.com.